Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I am good. I'm even better because we have some guests with us today who I hold in very high esteem in the WordPress community. So I'd like to introduce them right off the bat. So today with us, we have Nadia Maya Ardiani and Miriam Schwab. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you both said that you wanted to come and talk about our episode today. So welcome.
And thank you, Michelle and Sama, for having me too.
Yes, really of course. Thank you for saying yes when I asked. So I'm going to let Sama talk a little bit about what our topic is today, because she's the research person. Y'all know that by now. She's the one that's got all the numbers in front of her. So I'm going to let her introduce the topic while I drink my coffee.
Okay, awesome. As everyone knows, Michelle and I, we love Tech Talk. But of course, we know this information, I think, before. Recently, I think maybe tomorrow, the 24th of July, they will be starting the French Olympic, and there's a lot of movement online about banning women with veil or Muslim women or any woman putting veil from participating, presenting the French country in the Olympic. And at the same time, the last week, the Amnesty on Tuesday, Amnesty International published a report calling out French authorities for discrimination and crossing a number of sports. They crossing a number of sports, including soccer, volleyball, basketball. And they're accusing the French government of being discriminating women. And also at the same time, they kind of a little bit mentioning article that the French government wants to save Muslim women by controlling them. I totally understand if you look at all the women around the world, I still believe it's your freedom to wear a veil or not to wear a veil, to be religious, to dress the way that you want. If you want to dress burkini and go to the beach, if you want to dress whatever you want. And it's not allowed for any government or any officials to tell us what to do. And yeah, that is what we want to talk about. And also how it's different to stand out in the IT community, especially if you wear a veil or you wear a headscarf or you wear a wig. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I have a long history of working with women who wear headscarves when I was working in higher education for 20 years. And I'll tell you the funny story. So I said to a woman one day, I had dreamt about her the night before. And in my dream, she took off her headscarf and she had the curliest hair. And she says, my hair is very straight. You missed it. But that to say that apparently, even in my own psyche, there's a mystique also about when somebody chooses to cover their head or body parts. Like, I know that some women wear a niqab or burqa, and so it covers their face, except for their eyes as well. And so we kind of wanted to talk with some people in the tech community and in the WordPress community who are currently practicing, Nadia, or who have practiced head covering, Miriam, and just kind of open discussion about what it's like to be a woman in tech who has these customs, traditions, practices, religious practices, and how that has affected you. So I kind of just want to open up the floor and hear your stories, if that's okay. Who wants to go first? Nadia, I'll pick on you.
Okay. By the way, you guys feel free to call me Maya because like
Maya, I thought so. Okay. I'm like, I don't know. It says it on the screen, but I was like, I always call her Maya, but it says Nadia. Maybe she's doing something different now. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I sometimes like hit my first name because like I just don't feel like Nadia. I more like feel like Maya. So like
I like it.
Yeah. So yeah. So I'm Maya from Indonesia, and I've been like, I just start to wear hijab, I think, since I'm 22. Yeah. Since I'm 22. So it's like, yeah, some years ago, like a decade ago. So yeah, I start to use it because like, I feel like that's the right thing to do for me. I'm practicing Muslim, so yeah, I do that as part of what I think is right for in me when doing my religious practice. And yeah, there are, and I don't, I just starting to realize that it's kind of standing out that during WordPress events, I mean in global settings, during like my first flagship WordCamp was WordCamp Asia 2023 in Bangkok, and that was the first time I realized that there are not many people who look like me. Yeah. I mean that's still in Asia, and it's supposed to be like more people who look like me there, but turns out it's not really. And when I found some who wear hijab, they mostly like pretty shy to like come forward because they feel like, oh, there's not many people who look like me, so they tend to stand in the shadow. And that's when I have an interview with Michelle, and we talk about the importance of showing up, even though you're the only person who feels like you. So yeah, that's when I start to think like, yeah, it's okay, even though there's not many people who look like me, but at least we speak the same language, that is WordPress, so, and mm-hmm. technology, so yeah.
Now, to be fair, I did not tell her she had to. I just encouraged her. I was like, you must do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really like, what is it? Like igniting my courage at that point.
I'm glad.
Yeah, really, it's really sweet.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Miriam, what about you?
So I also started covering my hair when I was around 22, but in Judaism, we start to cover our hair when we get married. That's actually when I got married. I got married young. And it was kind of like a no-brainer to me that I was going to cover my hair because I grew up religious. I still am religious. And, you know, the women in our family all covered their hair one way or another, but you know, it was just how it was. And I didn't feel anything against it. I actually was very okay with it. I had to figure out for myself how I felt comfortable covering my hair. So in Judaism, there's a lot of different opinions. In Judaism in general, there's a lot of opinions. So even like the rabbis will have different opinions and different perspectives. So the way you can cover your hair can range from like literally like a hairband, which a lot of young women do today when they get married, to a headscarf that covers, let's say, most of your hair, to a headscarf that covers all of your hair. Some women from some groups, usually like Hasidic groups, not only, they'll wear wigs. The wigs are worn either because it's hard to wear a headscarf all the time. You know, I think we appreciate our hair, and to never be able to show it, it's really challenging. So the wig can be for women who that's hard for, but there's actually some religious sects where they say that the wig is ideal because it actually covers every single strand of your real hair. So there's that perspective. And there's even, I was just standing behind a woman in line the other day, she was wearing a wig and then a hat on top of it. So you can go from like the most minimal thing to like doubling up your head covering.
All the layers. Depending on
depending on your like level of observance or what you feel comfortable with or what speaks to you. Also depending on which group you're in. So I decided pretty early on I didn't want to wear a wig. First of all, oh my gosh, so hot. It's like wearing a hair hat. So I'm like, no,
I believe it.
And just for me, I was like, well, if I'm covering my hair, I feel like I shouldn't be pretending I'm not. And I'm proud of my Jewish identity, and so I didn't feel like I needed to hide it. So in my family, most women wore scarves most of the time, so I went with that. It was just easiest, and you know, you can switch out your scarves, we can wear different colors and all this kind of stuff. And so that's So I start covering my hair. And I did that throughout all the years of my marriage. I didn't cover all of it. Like I had like a ponytail in the back that was out. That was just like what felt most comfortable to me. And but I was visibly wearing a headscarf in all environments and all scenarios, which brings with it certain, it's not like the complexities, but it makes you, in one way, from one perspective, it's like to be modest. And on the other hand, depending where you are, you can totally stand out more because you're wearing it. So, but I embraced it almost in some ways as part of my brand. If you want to find Miriam at a conference, look for the one person, Maya, like you, wearing a head covering. And I remember being at a very big conference at one point, and someone had said they wanted to meet me. And I was like, okay, like we'll figure it out. Anyways, he kind of, like I see him, he comes through the crowd at some point. He's like, Miriam, I just looked for the person with the headscarf and I found you. So in one,
It
in some, it worked. So like it can help you stand out in some ways. So having said all that, and that I was okay with it all those years, and it was part of my identity, and I went to the first work camp, like international work camp I spoke at, was Work Camp Europe, the first one in the Netherlands, in Leiden. I was like, what will people think of me? I look weird, you know, I'm like a weirdo. People were very nice, obviously, because it's WordPress and everyone's so nice. And I think people were curious, but also people don't ask, which by the way, people can always ask anything in general, and there's something for me. Like, just ask. It's not like it's a, it's fine. If I don't feel comfortable saying something, I'll just say. But everyone was nice. What I always felt throughout the years is whether it was people who weren't Jewish and weren't familiar or weren't familiar with this whole thing, or also non-religious Jews, they don't really know how to approach you because you're wearing a headscarf. They think they're like uncomfortable. Like, can we talk? Can I look at her? What, you know? Can I shake her hand? And you know, all that kind of stuff. And it can be a level of awkwardness that can hold relationships back. But if you talk enough and get to know each other enough, then you see, oh, okay, it's Miriam with a headscarf. She's still like the same person, and it's fine. So I learned like I had to have patience and give people a chance to get like to know me and see I'm just like a person. And even so, and having said all that and being comfortable with my headscarf, when I got divorced, I took it off. Because in Judaism, it's a sign of being married. And I just didn't want that sign anymore. Not because I wanted to be like, hey, world, I'm available, but it didn't suit my stage of life anymore. And so that's why I took it off.
I took off my wedding ring when I got divorced for the exact same reason. So it makes sense.
Yeah. It doesn't represent where we're at. It's connected to a stage of
Exactly.
our life that's not like we're not there anymore. So, yeah.
Exactly. Now, with a headscarf that you would tie around your head, it definitely looks different than a hijab, right? So hijab, we all recognize that as being an absolute symbol of a Muslim woman, right? But with a headscarf, did anybody ever like confuse you with like, oh, maybe you're going through cancer and you have chemotherapy, or like any of those other kinds of things that women might use a headscarf for? Or maybe you were jet setting to the Bahamas or something. I don't know.
So, when I was raising funding for Stratic, which is a startup that I co-founded, we flew to San Francisco and in that area, and we were meeting investors there. And I did all of that wearing a headscarf, which is really crazy, like looking back. But I was like, this is who I am. Take it or leave it, kind of thing. Not
Much
take it or leave it,
respect.
like obviously, like I want
This is who
them
you
to
are,
invest,
yeah.
but like this is who I am, and I'm like, it's not changing, so I'm not gonna pretend for this situation that I'm something else. Also, if anyone would look online, you know, I'd already spoken quite a lot, and like, you know, you can find me with a headscarf. So it's not like everyone was totally fine and nobody said anything. But also Americans tend to also, they're like, oh, I'm not gonna ask you about anything. But my conclusion there was that they figured I'm so like a lot of them just figured I'm some kind of hippie. That was, and this is like an
Especially in
accessory.
California.
Exactly. So I'm like a tech hippie or something. In Europe, when I would be with a headscarf, people just, like a lot of people thought I was Muslim. It's fine. Like they can think what they want, so they would think that because you don't see a lot of Jewish women wearing headscarves around. So that was the conclusion. No, nobody ever thought it was anything. I don't, at least I don't remember anyone thinking it was anything beyond being a hippie or Muslim.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Maya, what has been your experiences been? Have you had anybody in the tech community especially interact with you in either a very positive way because of your hijab or a very negative way because of it? I'm curious what some of your experiences might have been also.
I'm happy that the experience so far has been like just like how I interact with anybody usually. So I mean it's like very regular, nothing special, and I really appreciate that people don't put me in the special like special behavior like that. And it's I also relate how Miriam said that some people tend to be like a little bit awkward when they want to talk to us, like can you speak to male? I found it really funny that one time during WordCamp, flagship WordCamp as well, you know, there are so many like American and European people who is really tall and I'm so tiny, and I tend to like stand a bit further from them, and they thought that I cannot be very close to men, but in fact it's because I cannot see their eyes. So I have to like a little bit further. Yes. If not,
oh my
I will
gosh,
be
that's
like,
wonderful.
It's really tiring for my neck if I do this all day. So, and they were like,
oh my gosh,
so loud. Oh my God, it's so practical reason. Yeah.
Tears in my eyes. I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's just wonderful. I love that story.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. I'm like, oh, this is really nice. Like,
I mean, at least they're trying to give you respect, even if they don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying, like, and that's during my boot shift on Hostinger. I mean when I have to like explain the product and they ask that, and I really like I do my best to hold my laugh during that time.
I bet.
Customer, you have to be professional.
I have one tiny little story, and I'm going to turn things over to Sama because I've been running the show and I want her to have an opportunity to talk. But my very first flagship was the very first ever WordCamp US in Philadelphia. And I didn't know hardly anybody. I knew maybe five or six people from some local WordCamps. And I was walking down one of the halls and I saw a woman at the other end of the hall with an Ewok hat, like with the ears and like the cowl and everything. And I thought, man, if you could wear that, you could really wear anything to a WordCamp.
This actually can be counted as hijab. I mean, it's
for
everything. Yeah, it's technically.
I'm really impressed by both of you, your story. But I just want to ask you a question. Like, I know it's sometimes very, I don't want to say difficult, but maybe at the beginning it's a little bit uncomfortable to be outstand like the way we look, because we are human being. The first time we look is like how we see each other, and especially in IT world, because as you said, Maya and Miriam, that it was you the only one with a headscarf or the only one with the hijab. So how can people be more supportive and respectful for women who choose to wear a veil or headscarf? I know that Miriam, you said like, oh, it's okay, some anyone can ask me questions, but what questions or how we can talk about it? Like, oh, it's okay if you want to ask more question, if you want to know more about it. So yeah.
Well, so in terms of asking questions, so I'm saying it here now because hopefully people will listen to this. And I often feel like people want to ask me questions, like personal questions, and they are held back about anything. So people can feel like, I think in general, you can ask. And in terms of like what, let's say a headscarf means at the time, I'm not sure what people can ask about it, but I think, you know, we live in generally in societies, or at least in WordPress land, what I call it, we embrace differences, right? Like you can look however you want to look, and that nobody's judging about that. And in fact, good for you for being unique. So the same here, like this is another way to be unique, at least in WordPress land, and so what kind of thing, or like why should that be viewed differently? I've spoken to other religious people. So in Judaism, also the men wear what's called a kippah. It's like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's a thing that they wear on their head if they're religious. Men have said to me, women have said to me that they don't want to wear any religious symbols because they don't want to stand out as being different. And I'm like, why not? Like, are we so afraid of being different? And also, if someone judges any of us for being different, that's on them, not on us. And we don't have to walk around being afraid that we don't, you know, fully fit in because someone might be uncomfortable with a difference. Like, talk to us, meet us as a person, see that we're pretty much like you. And yeah, if you're being judgmental, it's on you, it's on me. I don't have to like hide who I am or to pretend to be something different because of that. Within reason, of course, like, you know, I'm not going to encroach on anyone else's space. Way of life, like I don't expect anyone to do anything for me, around me, because of me, right? But I can exist as a different person and that should be okay.
No, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Miriam had said. And yeah, I think it's like, yeah, anyone basically can ask anything and like, maybe it's like for many people it's like very awkward to whether that will offend us or not. But yeah, I think it's worth to just try to shoot the question because yeah, and I think also it's okay to not be the same as everyone else. I mean, we don't have to be the same to connect. So I think it's okay just to be yourself.
If I can just add to that, one of the things that I love from the beginning of being part of the WordPress community is that it gave me the opportunity to step outside of my bubble. I think in the end, we all live in some form of bubble, right? And meet people who are different, which is like amazing. You hear different perspectives, learn about different cultures, and learn from other people. So, but if we all are the same, then we kind of lose that, which is a shame. So yeah, I think it's to be embraced and encouraged to have differences among us. It's fine.
It must be nice to never have a bad hair day too. I'm just going to say that right now.
Oh my gosh. By the way, that was one of the things that I loved.
Yeah. And it's like, I live in a very hot country, and when my people, when my friends all have like, oh my God, I have bad hair day, I'm so sweaty. I was like,
oh my gosh, totally. So for me, it was one of the things that I loved. And then after I stopped covering my hair, I hadn't had like my hair out for so many years. I have curly hair. I didn't know what to do with it. In the beginning, it was a disaster. It was like all over the place. And I was like, how do I make it look like normal curls? With curly hair, one day is fine. The next day is a disaster. You don't know exactly. But I had to learn how to handle my hair. Whereas when I was covering my hair, it was just like ponytail, done, ready to go. Yeah. Didn't matter.
Well, there are Elementor baseball hats. I have one. You can always wear them on a bad hair day.
Yeah, you're right. I could be like, I'm wearing it for the style.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just styling today. Have either of you ever felt threatened because of having a headscarf on in the past, whether it was in the tech community or not? Because I think that's an important factor too, to talk about safety and making sure that you are always in a safe environment that way. Specifically in tech, but also just in general, I fear for people sometimes who you hear are like their headscarves are being ripped from their heads and their lives are being threatened because of their beliefs and how that's represented. So I did want to ask that if that's okay.
I honestly, when I go outside Asia, I mean, Asia feels safer for me because like there are more Muslims there. But when I go outside Asia, there's that fear. I mean, is it okay for me to walk, like go around by myself? But so far I'm fine. I mean, I'm here now, so
yes.
When I started traveling to Europe, I was afraid, because there's a lot of anti-Semitism there, and I was afraid of being identified as a Jew, like being visibly Jewish and potentially being attacked. That never happened. I have a theory, which I don't know if it's true, that throughout my career, when I was wearing a head covering, it created a certain level of healthy distance between me and men. And what I mean by that is, men tended to, if, on the one hand, it meant maybe they were less relaxed around me, but on the other hand, it meant they were less relaxed and wouldn't say inappropriate things. Since taking off my head covering, I would say that I've experienced more of those types of inappropriate comments. So, in fact, you could say that it's the opposite, where the head covering, in a way, protected me from that.
I can understand that absolutely. Samad, do you have more questions or comments, stories?
No, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about the question three times before asking it to make sure that I can ask the right thing. No, I'm really, really impressed by both of you. I know it's both of you are presenting community, are presenting a statement that it's all by your choice, because I know Maya, maybe she understand. I am also Muslim woman, but I don't wear a veil. And sometimes also veil women also has to face something. They ask you, did your family force you to do it? And that sometimes it's really, really can cause like, oh, no. And then a lot of conversations. So personally, I don't like to go through sometimes, because I feel believe it's, as we mentioned, I think last episode, 1.5 billion Muslims in Asia. It's a huge, big number, and also huge traditional added to it with your culture. I want to ask you, I know I didn't notice a lot of veil women in World Camp Europe, last, and also World Camp US, and also with headscarf, also the same for Miriam. How we can make it, I know it's very safe environment, WordPress, how we can make it more welcoming or more for women with headscarf or with veils or from different culture. I'm not talking about women who wear veils, for different women all around the world, because we talked a couple of times, Michelle and I, that we need more speaker diversity speaker line in WordCamps. We need more women in joining WordPress community. Yeah, any special message would you like to share?
I think it's actually not directly related to like hijab or anything, but it actually the fact that during WordCamp Asia, like there's a signage of halal food. I noticed in WordCamp US, we have to like have like certain card that said halal or kosher, but there are no signage whether something is halal or kosher. So having that halal signage, it simply makes me feel welcome. Like, oh, like there's a place for me here. I mean, for even for eating, there's a place for me. So that means there's a place for me for existing. So yeah.
That's a really nice point. I don't think it's like a policy thing. I think it's just how they end up organizing the food. Like, because I'm just thinking back, sometimes I had a ticket, sometimes I went to a line. But it's nice to have that because A, it says we have people who observe these traditions or practices here. B, I remember standing in line at one of the conferences, and kosher and halal was like right next to each other, and something had happened with both of our food, or both of us had experienced something. I was talking to some Muslims who had ended up being fed, like they were given food that they were told was okay, and that not at the work camp, it was outside work camp. It was just anecdotal, like our experiences of trying to figure out what to eat when we're traveling, which is not easy. They were given food, and they were like at a restaurant, they were like, yeah, it's fine, it's halal, but then it ended up having pork in it. Oh my gosh, like this to
Oh
me,
my
like
gosh.
traumatic. So we were like commiserating around the food while we're standing in line at these places, which I think is nice, to share these shared experiences that we have. And I've noticed the women wearing hijab at the conferences, and they there's very few, right? And they often, my sense, and I might be wrong, and I hope I'm not offending anyone, but they seem shy and at the side. And I don't know how to, like, I don't want to like be too aggressive. Like even for me, I'm like, what should I do? But if you have a line for halal, then they can meet other people who have more experience in the WordPress community. And then maybe that's an opportunity to kind of like be like, hey, it's so nice you're here. Are you new? People that, you know, look, when I would wear my headscarf, one of the things that kept me going also was that I felt like other women who want to wear a headscarf or do, they don't see other people out there like them. It's kind of like the importance of diversity in general. Like if you see more women on stage, then you feel like as a woman, you could be on stage. So right. Also, if you're wearing a hijab or if you're wearing a headscarf and you see that on stage, you're like, oh, I can do that too. So that might be an opportunity for like networking around our food to make new people feel comfortable. I'm always curious to see who else orders kosher. Like somehow I'll see piles of kosher food. I'm like, who else is keeping kosher besides me and like the co-founder of Elementor when he's there, like, you know, but it's interesting. We meet people at the table and then we commiserate over the food. It's a social experience, opportunity. But
I know, and I'm not going to call out the particular camp where you were promised kosher food, but you had to DoorDash food in because there was very little food that you could actually eat. And so I think since that time, I think I've seen, from my perspective, more inclusion food-wise. But has that also been your experience?
Oh, definitely. And also, it's hard. It's hard to figure it out. Like, you think something's, it's like what happened with that guy that I was talking to. People think that kosher means something, and then, but like, it's much more complicated than that. So like, I don't judge, and I appreciate when it works out, because that's really nice of them to make the effort. It's not easy. But pretty much it. And even at that WordCamp, in the end, they actually managed to figure it out like for the next day. And from that point on, I and the others had meals, and generally there's definitely an effort to make sure that we have kosher food. So I imagine it's the same halal. Yeah. And I really appreciate it. For many years, there wasn't even that option. Kosher wasn't in the dropdown because seriously, there's like three of us. So yeah, I mean, apparently there's more, but yeah. So I really appreciate it. And they're doing a good job. Very good job.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. And if I can add, so it's wonderful how food signage can like bring down more inclusivity issues. I mean, during WordCamp US, so I volunteered for the help desk, and when it's my shift and it's during the lunch break, some people like their attendees, and they're approaching me and ask, is there any more halal food? Because I'm actually Muslim, but I don't choose halal here because I don't know. So yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, interesting. Like my presence there can bring more people to like sharing their preferences there. So yeah, it's nice if we can like open up that stuff like that.
Yeah, when people see representation, then they know that you're a safe person also to talk to.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, it's like, it makes all the purple hair people come and talk to me. I'm just kidding. But it is, but I know that I am a representative of disabled people at WordCamps because I'm the one that people call or message and say, how wide does the aisle need to be? And if we have a countertop this high, is that okay for you? And things like that. So I know that I'm representing in those ways. Do you feel like you're also representing your cultures when you attend an event like that?
I think inadvertently.
Yeah.
It's like a byproduct. Yeah. Like this podcast, or even in my talks, I gave a talk in Taiwan. It was like building businesses while raising seven children, something like that was the topic. And so of course comes through my traditions, my background.
Right.
And so then people, you know about me, know about my background, associate with me. And then something nice that comes out of it is that people love to come and tell me their stories about some Jewish something that happened to them. And I hear the best stories. Like really, they'll be like, I grew up next to a Jewish neighborhood. It was like that kind of stuff. Or this guy at one of the conferences, he's like, he's telling me all these like Jewish foods and Yiddish foods, and I'm like, okay, how do you know this? He goes, my father had a fish shop. We were right next to the Jewish community, so we would make them gefilte fish. I don't know if you know what gefilte fish is, but it's a very Jewish food. It's kind of fish. And I'm like laughing because this person who should not really know anything about gefilte fish is like a gefilte fish expert. So I get to hear these great, hilarious stories. So you end up being the person that people want to share those stories with, which works for me because I love it. They're good stories.
I love that too. Now, both of you are wonderfully nice people, and every time I've ever experienced, talking to you and being with you, do you feel ever that there's a pressure to be nice and not to like have a bad day because of the fact that you also are maybe, and I know Mary, you aren't wearing a headscarf anymore, but in those days, like that you were representing and that you didn't want people to think, well, Muslim women are horrible, that she was just so mean to me, or Jewish women aren't, those kinds of things. Is there a pressure that way too?
So far, I haven't felt such pressure. Maybe because I never been in like an environment where I am standing out for like extended time. So I never reached the point where I can be cranky or anything. So far, I'm still nice, I think.
I love that. It's like, I know everybody thinks I'm nice, but man, get me alone and you're going to hear a few stories. About you, Miriam?
There must be some kind of subconscious thing where I am aware, but I think that's probably the case with anyone who comes from some kind of identifiable group, that there's preconceived notions and potentially negative perspectives. And so but the but that doesn't but I am who I am. Like, I tend to be who I am in all scenarios. Like, I'm not very good at faking things. Someone just wrote to me and they're
That
like, but like, you're so authentic. I'm like, I just, because I had posted a story about how I got home one evening and I was just sitting in my car and I couldn't get out. I don't know if I'm sure that's happened to you. You get home and you're just like so tired and I couldn't find the strength to get out. So I posted a story about that. And she's like, oh my goodness, you're so authentic. I'm like, well, that's just that's right. And I can't really pretend not to be. So I am who I am. And I guess maybe like I'm hoping, not hoping, but there's like an aspect of, well, if you have preconceived notions about the groups that I belong to, and you meet me and you see that I'm relatively normal, weird person. I am weird, but like normal weird person, then maybe you'll like be more open-minded towards groups that you are judging. But beyond that, I just am who I am.
I love that about you both, actually. That's awesome. Anything else, Sabai? I know we're kind of coming up on time here.
Yeah, nothing. Like, for me, I'm really impressed by both of the
Yeah.
ladies. Yeah, it's really nice to hearing them, and I know that the stories, someone will listen to us and encourage a lot of women, because that's how I feel with Maya. When I saw her in the WordCamp US, it was like, I'm not really practicing religion, but I saw she was wearing a veil and they sit next to her, and I feel like, I will be friend with her. And so, yeah, that's something can make you bond and meet more the community, and to meet more people. So, yeah, no, not at all. I'm really happy that today we talk about this. So it's yeah.
I do just want to acknowledge also that we do know that there are other reasons that people cover their hair for men and
Definitely.
women, other religious reasons, other non-religious reasons. I know a lot of Black women that wear wigs. And this is not to say that that is that we don't want to also encourage people to be who they are outside of these two wonderful women. But we can't have everybody on the podcast on the same day. But I did want to acknowledge that I've known Sikh men who have the turban. I've known other people who, for religious or non-religious reasons, do head coverings. And so we just want to say that this representation is actually, to say that it's okay to be who you are, to represent your culture, who you are, where you are, and that we do hope that more people will, at the very least, be tolerant, but at the best be accepting and encouraging. So
yeah, I totally agree with you. Just be who you are, and everyone is amazing. Everyone is beautiful just the way you are. Yeah.
Exactly. So thank you, Maya. Thank you, Miriam, for being here today. I know that I speak for both of us. We were so excited to have this episode and that you both agreed to be here. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for facilitating this conversation. It's very brave. It is. Thank you.
We have the thick skin. We're okay.
You do. You do.
We have to with what we're doing. But yeah. Our tagline is representation without tokenization. And so, but we do also realize that every time we ask somebody to come on talk to the show, in a way they are representing, right? But we never want to tokenize anybody. And having friends like you that we can call on is very important to us. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm excited. We often say we don't know who, or we don't know what our next topic is, but we actually have another guest lined up for next week. Hopefully things, you know, people can always reschedule. We understand that, but we're expecting next week to talk to Kira, who is a trans woman and who made a transition publicly while working in tech. And so we're going to talk to her next week about her experiences. And I just want to say that I'm very excited for that conversation also. And I think that to be able to be your authentic self with us is for us an honor. So we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.
Yeah, see you next week. Bye.
Bye. If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.